I'm Mary Engish, and the man who wants to talk all things lesser-known lilies is here, the one and only Charlie Nardozzi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Those gorgeous, bright orange tiger lilies are almost ready to blossom. Well, actually, a few across the street at my neighbor's are blossoming, but there are a bunch of other lilies that we might not know about and that are just as easy to grow.
Yes, I call them the tall lilies because they tend to grow tall, 3 to 5 feet tall. And these are different from the Asiatic and Oriental lilies because they're more of a species kind of lily. So they're a tough plant. They grow tall. They have smaller flowers, but a lot of flowers on some of these. And they're really beautiful in the landscape. So you mentioned the tiger lilies. Those are one of our favorites. I started with a couple bulbs of those in one area of our garden. And now we have a patch probably 4 feet by 5 feet that's loaded with these tiger lilies that are just exploding with these flowers. They grow up about 5 feet tall. They have the downward facing flowers. And if you have a tiger lily, you'll notice that the petals will have little freckles on them. That's the identifying aspect of the tiger lily. So they hang down, they look beautiful in the landscape, and they self-sow. So if you leave them there and maybe thin them out, you can just have a nice big patch of them that'll go on for years and years. Another nice one is called the martagon lily. This one grows up about 6 feet tall, 3-inch diameter flowers that are downward facing with curved petals. This one, like the tiger lily, can do well in part shade too, which is a nice thing about these types of lilies. And this one can have some fragrant varieties. One called Arabian Nights is a really nice one to grow. And then the other one I want to talk about is a trumpet lily. Now, this is the Easter lily, is a type of trumpet lily. These are, again, tall lilies that grow really nicely in the landscape. They can have a nice fragrance. Regal is a really beautiful one for that. And they're long flowering. They will flower on for weeks and weeks into the summer. And of course, the trumpet lilies probably could do better with a little more sun than the tiger and martagon lilies. So we can't really talk, though, about these bulb lilies unless we talk about the red lily leaf beetle, the bane of many lily growers' existence. So the red lily leaf beetle comes out just as the lilies emerge in the spring, and it's a bright red lily leaf beetle, and it chomps on the leaves. It lays eggs on the undersides of the leaves, which turn into these black slug-like masses, which are disgusting. But they also will defoliate a lily. And if it happens a couple years in a row, you can actually lose your lily plant. Now, there are some varieties that are species of the Lilium Hendrii that seem to be less susceptible to the red lily leaf beetle. That would be Black Beauty and Madam Butterfly. So look for those if you have a big issue with them. Of course, you could do what I do, is I go out with a little bowl of soapy water and I drop them in there as soon as I start seeing them in the spring. And I do that diligently for 2 or 3 weeks. And that usually knocks down the population so that now when I look at my lilies, the tiger lilies, they don't really have much damage or lilies on beetles on them at all. And of course, our listeners are great. And we have a listener in Wilmington who suggested doing this that works really well with her. She grows chocolate peppermint underneath her lilies. And she swears that the chocolate peppermint does something so that the lilies she have growing in that bed do not have the red lily leaf beetle. But the ones who are growing in other beds without the chocolate peppermint do have the red lily leaf beetle. So it is peppermint, so you do have to keep that in mind. It does spread. But if you want to give that a try, that might be another solution.
Such a cool tip. I love that from our listener. Here are a couple of questions. The first one up is from Maggie, and Maggie in Heartland writes, when should I cover my raspberries to protect against rose chafers? The plants are several years old. They're very healthy, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah, well, the rose chafers actually kind of have moved on now at this point. So usually early in the spring or early summer would be the time to try to cover your plants to keep the chafers off. The other thing you could do for rose chafers would be to spray beneficial or parasitic nematodes late August, early September, similar to what you would do for Japanese beetles, because it is a little grub that's in the soil, and a lot of the nematodes will attack that grub as well. Spraying them that time of year and watering them in well for 3 or 4 days will help that little nematode go through there and parasitize the grub so you have less of a problem next year.
Peter in Hanover, New Hampshire writes, I have a rhododendron that I significantly cut back in the fall 5 years ago. It's never bloomed since. Any tips for trying to get it to bloom again?
Well, usually they bounce right back from a good heavy pruning and they will bloom a few years later. So I'm wondering if maybe it's not getting enough light, even though rhododendrons like a part shade. They do like some dappled light in there. That's one possibility. Could be a soil thing. You could do a soil test and see if there's a need for some fertilization. And of course, you got to remember not to continue to prune them, especially after July 1st, because that's when they set their flower buds. So hopefully that will help you.
Send gardening questions to Charlie, gardening@vermontpublic.org, and listen to this show in your favorite podcast feed. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.